The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Reconcast, a podcast where two homeschool dads share the applications of faith in everyday family life.
Reconcast, Episode 2.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Reconcast. Just a couple homeschool dads here talking about recovering the faith for all of life. I'm Joe Graham, homeschool father of 8. Joining me is my co-host, Dan Stahosky, homeschool father of 5. We're out in the beautiful Northwest, out here defending liberty and justice against the overrun of humanism and the secular state. Today, we're going to be talking about homeschooling and being a homeschool dad and why it's great and why everyone else should be a homeschool dad as well. You ready to talk about homeschooling today, Dan?
Sure am. Let's do this.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. So homeschooling, kind of a big topic, a lot of stuff there that we can go after. This may be kind of a recurring theme for us to be talking about homeschooling in general. But today we kind of just want to lay some groundwork, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's right. We want to lay some general aspects of homeschooling, why that's important to us. Why should we consider this an important educational methodology for our families?
So I'm going to start this off here. We got a quote. This is from R.J. Rush Jr. He states that it needs more than ever to be stressed that the best and truest educators are parents under God. The greatest school is the family. The moral training of the child, the discipline of good habits, is an inheritance from the parents to the child which surpasses all others. The family is the first and basic school of man. So I think what we want to emphasize here and think about is what is the place of education in the Christian life. I think that's kind of the primary foundational aspect that we want to be looking at. So does God say that education is a pretty big deal or not? Dan, do you have some of the stats that we had looked up and talked about beforehand?
We sure do, yeah. So, the state of things is less than admirable, I believe. And I think we all know that. You watch the news today. Things are not as we would like as Christians, as those who follow God's word. And so just to back that up, in the UK, so the other side of the pond, interesting statistics. So compared to, 25% of young adults age 18 to 29, they're now unaffiliated with any particular religion, compared to 8% among those 70 and older. Regular church attendance in the UK has dropped from 12 to 5% over the last 40 years. So while the average age of the church attendee rose from 38 to 58. So the young people just are not going to church. They've started to leave the church. Here in America, church attendance has dropped from 55% for the silent generation to 18% for the millennials. That's according to Pew Research. And then a recent poll conducted by the Barna Group, Joe, listen to this, they found that only 0.5%, so less than 1% of American young people aged 18 to 25 hold a Christian worldview as compared to 14% in the previous generation. I mean, that's astounding. Is that apostasy or, I mean, what is that? Like, less than 1%.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. I think that really begins to manifest itself a lot when you are looking at the culture in general at large. True, we do retain quite of a lot of Western ideas, things that people would consider admirable. I think most people are still monogamous in general. And that's kind of a relic of a lot of the Christian heritage that people have inherited. But we are rapidly deteriorating very, very quickly. So so I guess the question kind of is posed to us, where does that put us? So I think it's important for us to figure out what responsibility are we supposed to have to respond to that as a homeschool dad. So obviously, since we're already homeschool dads, we're kind of sold into this idea already, but we can at least explain a little bit why we think it's important, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So, so for us, we're going to say that number one, education is very important for the Christian life because it's going to impact the thoughts and ideas that someone has. I think it's a famous quotation that's kind of a euphemism that the pen is mightier than the sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that the thoughts and ideas that people have are going to have a much larger impact on the way that they live their life and how that's going to reproduce itself across the culture, more so than just being incredibly violent or be pushing, right? Yeah.
And that's what we mean when we say worldview, right? I mean, it's the perspective, it's what we apply, the filters we apply to how we see the world, interpret the world, interpret life around us, and approach and attend to life, right?
Right.
So what worldview
do you have? Yeah, and it encompasses a lot. And it encompasses obviously every discipline associated with education. You know, what's your view of God? What's your view of man? What's the problem with man? What's your view of the world? I mean, all of those things are part of the biblical worldview. So, so obviously, for an atheist, he doesn't believe in God. Well, that has a direct impact on the way that he lives his life and the way that he handles situations and what he thinks is important or doesn't. Right. So, if you're a theist. If you're a Christian theist, then you should definitely have a different perspective on how you need to be living, what is important, how you need to conduct yourself in general.
Sure. Yep.
So the first thing here we're going to talk about is what does God have to say about education in general? So we're going to go straight to God's word and just say, all right, what way are we supposed to be viewing education?
One of the things we were talking about was it's super important to start with what does God say about it, because we all come to these things with presuppositions. We all come assuming certain things, and one of the things we want to get clear about is we want to understand what does God say about education, who's responsible for that education, who does God say is responsible, because that really does impact how we go about it. How we approach it. So I think this is a great place to start. So what do you have there, Joe?
All right, good. So what I have here initially is Deuteronomy 11. This is starting in verse 18. I'm just going to read here a little bit. It says, "You shall therefore let these words in your heart and in your soul, and shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves." So first pitch here as far as education is concerned, and God, you know, is saying this is pretty important. This is pretty darn important, right? This seems to be a pretty critical aspect of the advancement of the kingdom of God, is how you obey God and teaching your children about the entire viewpoint of the Christian life in general, right? That's what he's saying. You have to teach these things to your children. You're learning how to obey. You're teaching your children how to obey it as well. And the implication is that it's when you're sitting in your house, walking by the way, lie down, and when you rise up, right? So that sounds fairly comprehensive, right?
Yeah, that Deuteronomy 6, right? Just to chime in, the key there is God is saying this is absolutely critical for life, for how you approach life and engage in it. And he says, "You shall teach them to your children." So you shall teach these ways to your children. That's interesting. I think we'll come back and hit on that a little later on in the conversation here too.
Right. So, but the main point is that God is saying, obeying him and learning about his commandments is very important, not only for you, but then you also have the implication injunction to teach that in your family to your children, right?
Yeah.
And when he says, talking of them when you're sitting in your house, walking by the way, lie down, and when you rise, to me, I consider that as like me providing biblical viewpoint commentary on all the various aspects and vicissitudes of life. Everything that we encounter, everything we come in contact with, how to go ahead and talk about that. All right.
One interesting note there. I didn't really hear him talk about reading, writing, and arithmetic there.
No, I don't think that's the primary area that God's concerned about. I think that comes later when you're talking about the tool bag that you're going to put in the technician's hand. But first you have to just equip him to actually do his job, and then you start giving him some tools so that he can actually develop.
Build a foundation through which then you'll use the tools based on that foundation.
Right. The other verse that I have here is a lot shorter. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Right? Mm-hmm. So I think some of the stats that you were talking about, it sounded like there's a tremendous amount of apostasy there, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that kind of means that those children were probably trained in the way they should go, and they're going that way.
Hmm.
Right. So I think that's kind of that's unfortunate. It's very sad. But it means that there needs to be an ideological shift that's happening from whatever it was that led to those statistics that we're talking about, this major apostasy that's happening in the church. There needs to be a different training that's occurring. Because it's obviously whatever it is not right. Because the way that they're going is not the way that the Bible wants them to go, right?
That's right. And as a homeschooling father, I don't want to be satisfied with that direction. I want to change that. I want to set a different course for my children.
Right, because you don't want to raise apostates.
No, absolutely. Yeah, right. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It sounds harsh to use those terms, but that's the truth. We don't want to raise apostates. We don't want to raise children who leave the church and leave the faith. We want to raise children who delight in the law of the Lord. So, you know, another verse here, Psalm 1:1 and 1:2, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I don't think that happens without daily training. Going back to Deuteronomy 6, without in the morning, noonday, in the evening, being shown and as an example, having the father and the mother showing their children that you can delight in the perfect law of the Lord. And you can meditate in that. Do your children see you meditating in it day and night? That's a challenge.
And Psalm 1 is a didactic psalm, so you know it's an instructional psalm about how you need to behave. It's not just informative. It's actually telling you this is what you need to do. Right.
Right. Yep.
I think some blessings that it talks about there at all as well, in all that he does, he prospers. Right.
Absolutely.
That this foundational rooting in God's word and in his law and the way that it's being molded over in your mind constantly, it leads to a prosperous blessing of a life, right?
Right. So we need to test the counsel we receive. We need to test. That's what God is saying here about education. The education, counsel, we need to test the spirit behind. Is it godly or is it ungodly?
Right. Yeah, and that's important because this other verse I have, Hosea 4:6, says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm.
So having a poor educational content is a recipe for destruction, right?
That sounds plain and simple to me.
I think that's pretty clear. And so when we're looking in on our culture and we're saying, wow, what are the fruits of this labor, of these things that are being sown? Can say the fruit is bad. Therefore, whatever that educational methodology is, it's bad. Right?
That's right.
And we don't want that anymore.
Right.
So for us, we're saying is that that God is very clear saying, you need to teach your children the commandments of God, and you need to be doing it all the time. All the time. Right?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job. It really is.
I think, and I haven't gone personally, but if I went to go ask the superintendent of the district of schools where I live, if that's what they're focused on for their educational content, hey, are you going in and as Psalm 1 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Is that what you guys are teaching? Are you teaching the fear of the Lord as your primary number one goal in school? I don't think he's going to say yes. No.
I don't think so. And I think if you went to his boss at like the Department of Education, so at the federal level, are they, what's their objective? What have they said? What are their stated goals? I don't have them in front of me, but I've read them before. I don't think they fall in the category of delighting in the law of the Lord.
Right.
In fact, I would be actually very clear to say they are scornful. And they are ungodly. And we have
yeah.
to be aware
so
of that.
Don't be in those seats, right?
That's right. Yeah. So another thing God says, so Great Commission, and we're all familiar with that, but sometimes we don't really let it sink in. It says, go ye therefore. So he's talking to the individuals, to the church and those who make up the church, teach all nations.
Mm-hmm.
So what does God say about education? He says it comes from the family, comes from the church.
Yeah.
I don't hear him saying it comes from the state. And he says foundationally, fundamentally, fear the Lord. The beginning, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It comes from the fathers. It comes from the parents. It comes from the church. And the fundamentals are fear God, serve him, obey him in all his ways, for his law is perfect. It's a perfect law of liberty. And
well, what you're talking about, too, is that the content of education is not just personal and intimate on an individual familial level, but also that, like we talked about in Deuteronomy 11 and then the Great Commission, Matthew 28, that it also is a key aspect in the discipleship amongst the nations, the city on a hill type concept, that the focus of education for a father starts small when you're talking about children in your home, and it gets much larger and actually turns into a revolutionary kingdom building force that goes forth to teach all the nations, right?
So Joe, are you saying that that God is giving us a platform to influence the nations?
Yes. Yes. I mean, so think about like Abraham, right? So Abraham, Genesis 18, you know, God said, for I know Abraham that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. So he is teaching his children what they need to do, how they need to live. And obviously that the content of that education continues to go ahead and manifest itself in a larger and larger capacity. And they're having an influence on everyone that's around them. The Great Commission aspect of it is very forward thinking, very much infecting people with truth and with God's revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we talked about the place of education. What does God say about it? Responsibility. We kind of hit on it a little bit. We talked about it briefly. Fathers, Abraham, Ephesians 6:4. Right. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So we understand that the primary people that are responsible for education is fathers directly, and then also mothers. We read numerous places that, you know, my son, do not forsake your mother's teaching, that mothers have a very key foundational role in that educational process. But there's no implication or thought to say, yeah, no, farm these children out because the state is responsible to go ahead and educate them, right?
Right.
You don't get that at all.
No.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately, and this may be another discussion later, that's a huge, huge aspect subject right there. Right. So as far as what the state's role is, but yeah, so let's go to the last part, the content. What do we have for the content of education?
Well, let's see. So Deuteronomy 4:9, I don't know if we've hit on that one yet. It says, take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest you depart from your heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So what are we going to teach? What is the content? The content is the things that we've witnessed, the teachings of the Lord, the times in history where God has intervened and equipped his people, and you've seen that on the world display. So we teach history. We teach history and science from a perspective that God is the creator of all things. We teach these things so that they don't forget what our eyes have seen and what we've heard, so that they don't depart from them all the days of their life. And you know, fathers and parents, or and mothers, teach them to your sons. And then guess what? The next part of that verse, Joe, says, teach them to your sons' sons. So even grandparents here are called to engage that next generation and impart their wisdom to them. So we aren't to disengage. We're supposed to be always discipling, always training, always encouraging and exhorting them in the ways of God.
Right, so the key point here, right, being that a Christ-centered education, you know, teaches that revelation of God, the belief that God's word is truth, and that all these other subjects are going to fall under that presuppositional foundation, right? So we have this responsibility as parents, as fathers, to provide that godly education. And so this true knowledge is based on the presupposition of the sovereign God, right? There's no form or aspects of education that are neutral, right? That's everything right. Has a basic underlying foundational point. So whether it's being educated by the state or being educated by Christian families, it's going to have a foundation, right?
So absolutely. Yep.
Right. So as far as the content is concerned, I think we could kind of talk about how this manifests itself. You talked a little bit about history and science. So this creation presuppositional perspective, that's obviously incredibly important, because that's going to direct what's the course and purpose behind how all of creation is being manifest. How does God show himself and all these things that are being made in history? I mean, it's absolutely foundational, right? Because is this God's world, or is this just some chaotic process that just continues to be happening? Is there a goal to the end of history? Is it linear? Is it cyclical, etc.? So we may have to get after some of these other aspects a little bit later. But the main point is that all of this teaching that we are going to be giving is integrated under the presumption that Christ is Lord over all things. And so our children should know that nothing happens. Their whole life should be growing up thinking nothing happens apart from God, whether it's personal life, private life, corporate life, church life, business life, anything, you know, from biographies and English to math and science. All of it needs to be understood comprehensively with relation to what God is teaching, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. So that's I believe that is what God talks about when he says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, it starts at the very beginning and it goes through to the end. He knows all, he counts all the hairs on our head. He provides for us. He cares for us. He is intimately involved, and he wants us to influence the culture. He wants us to influence the nations. It starts at home, and that responsibility is on us. And is that a responsibility we're going to step up to? And that's the question. It's not easy. You know, we know that you got to take up our cross daily, follow him. But the rewards are there and the blessings are there. And I'm thrilled to be a part of it and be enjoying the opportunity to see our children, shine, to see those times where they really catch hold, even at a young age, the beauty of who God is.
Well, I'm definitely in. I'm going to be a homeschool dad, and I'm going to stay a homeschool dad. Sounds like you're also in. We'll go ahead and maybe in a future reconcast, we'll kind of dig in a little bit more to what does it look like. You had talked about a little bit about the struggles, but it's not just an automatic. It's like, okay, God said it. It must be easy.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it works.
Doesn't quite work like that. So,
but we do get to count it all joy, and that's a command, and that we get to rejoice in that command. So,
that's true. So we'll get after that another time here. But for today, Dan, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciated this discussion here. So, talking about homeschooling, being a homeschool dad, and we look forward to talking with you and getting together next time. As we continue to go ahead and explore, talking about the faith for all of life. So thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. You guys take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of ReconCast. Don't forget to visit ReconstructionLife.com and ReconstructionistRadio.com.